You're listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. This show will give you the tools and information for better health as you age. Now, here's your host, Kendra Vallone.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our new show, Aging Redefined, brought to you by Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center, which is a top-rated facility in San Diego, focusing on skilled nursing and physical therapy rehab. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and together we will be uncovering how aging is changing. For those of you out there that have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, jump on the bandwagon and prepare yourself. Over the last few decades, people have been living longer by an average of about 12 years, which is quite a long time if you think about it. So on a glass half full note, we're talking more holidays, more vacations, more grandchildren, and so on. You know what I mean? On the flip side, there is more opportunity to experience the joys of physically getting older. Now, I'm not talking about death or morbidity. Come on, we've got to be a little more upbeat about that. But it might mean a hip fracture that you weren't expecting, or maybe a brief stay in a skilled nursing home. And like I said, Villa Las Palmas is a very nice place to be. I've been there, by the way. But this show is really designed to prepare us for what lies ahead. So whether you're already at that point, or you've got a parent that might be aging gracefully, or you're just curious about what to expect as we mature, as they say, stick with me. This is a great show for you. And today we do have a great show planned. Our special guest today will be Dr. Larry Emder, who is not only a pulmonary genius, board certified in internal medicine and pulmonary medicine. He also has advanced training in anti-aging. So as we get a little bit further into the show, we'll definitely uncover some of the secrets to healthy aging, maybe lasting a little bit longer. But before we get into all of that, as promised, I want to get you up to speed with what's new in medicine. So, as I've been doing a little research on my own, found a couple very interesting articles that our audience members out there might be interested in. First of all, let's talk a little bit about exercise. We all know exercise is great, especially if you're aging and getting a little bit older. But what kind of exercise are we talking about here? So the article starts saying, forget apples. Lifting weights and doing cardio can also keep the doctors away. Now, according to a new study by researchers at the University of British Columbia and Vancouver Coastal Health Research Institute, they have found the answers, as they'd like to say. So this study followed about 86 women aged 70 to 80 years old who were randomly assigned to participate in weight training classes, outdoor walking classes, or balance and toning classes such as yoga and Pilates for about 6 months. All participants have mild cognitive impairment as well as recognized risk factor for Alzheimer's disease and dementia. So Jennifer Davis, a postdoctoral fellow and lead author of the study, found that those who participated in the cardio or weight training program incurred fewer healthcare resources, such as doctor visits and lab tests, compared to those in the balance and training program. So the study is the latest in a series of studies that assesses the efficacy of different types of training programs on cognitive performance in elderly patients. An earlier study, published actually in February in the Journal of Aging Research, showed aerobic and weight training also improved cognitive performance in study participants. So those on balance and toning programs like yoga did not. These studies build on previous research. There are a few other, research programs out there. But this one focused on previous research by Professor Lee Ambrose, a Canadian research chair in physical activity, mobility, cognitive neuroscience. He's also a member of the Center for Hip and Healthy Mobility, and found that once or twice weekly weight training can really help minimize cognitive decline and impaired mobility for seniors. So, I mean, when we break it down, what kind of exercises are we talking about? Weight training classes, for example, included weighted exercise targeting different muscle groups for a whole body workout. Aerobic training, perhaps an outdoor walking program targeted to participants' age-specific target heart rate. And then when we're talking about the balance, as I mentioned, the balance and toning exercises, more representative of exercise programs available, like yoga, tai chi, those kind of things. So when we break it down, it's better to do weighted exercise and cardio than kind of some of the other stuff. But that's not saying that the other stuff's not good. So we're always into healthy exercise, that kind of thing. Anyway, all right, moving on. A new gene was actually discovered to extend the lifespan. Scientists have discovered a Dorian Gray gene that may extend lifespan and delay the onset of aging. Researchers from UCLA, which is so unfortunate. UCLA, I'll admit it's a good school, but being a USC alum, I struggle with that. But anyway, moving on. Researchers from UCLA found this gene, which had previously been implicated in Parkinson's disease, extended the lifespan of fruit flies by more than 25%. The research, they say, could have important implications for aging and disease in humans. So this gene, which is actually called Parkin, hence its relation to Parkinson's, serves at least two vital functions. It marks damaged proteins so that cells can discard them before they become toxic. And it's also believed to play a key role in the removal of damaged mitochondria from cells. Mitochondria, like in plants. Researchers increased Parkin levels in the cells of the flies and found that this extended their life by about 25% compared with a control group that did not receive the additional Parkin. In the controlled group, the flies were all dead by day 50. The study goes on to say that in the group with Parkin overexposed, almost half of the population is still alive after 50 days. They manipulated only one of the roughly 15,000 genes, and yet the consequences for the organism were profound. Just by increasing the levels of Parkin, they live substantially longer while remaining healthy, active, and fertile. Treatments to increase Parkin expression may delay the onset of progression of Parkinson's disease and other age-related diseases, the biologists in the research actually believe. So they're telling us that Parkin could be an important therapeutic target for neurodegenerative diseases and perhaps other diseases of aging. So as we age, our cells accumulate damaged or misfolded proteins. When proteins fold incorrectly, the cellular machinery can sometimes repair them. When it cannot, Parkin enables cells to discard the damaged proteins. So now on the flip side, though, researchers also found that increased Parkin extended the life of fruit flies. They also discovered that too much Parkin can have the opposite effect. So when they quadrupled the normal amount of Parkin, the fruit flies lived substantially longer. But when they increased it by a factor of 30, the flies died sooner. So, very interesting. Okay, now this one's my favorite. We have one more that is very important to our society out there in San Diego. First off, we're talking about food. Who doesn't like food? Food's great, but what kind of food? Now, a new study came out in the Journal of Neurology found that the Mediterranean diet appears to be associated with preserving memory and cognitive abilities. This was reported by researchers from the University of Alabama at Birmingham, which is in USA, and also the University of Athens, Greece. So very exciting here. I would like to say that I'm a super foodie, but this looks like we're talking about super food. So continuing on, the researchers also explain that diets that are high in omega-3 fatty acids are linked to better memory and cognitive function in humans. The Mediterranean diet has plenty of fish, chicken, and salad dressing, all of which are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. So Georgios Savgoulis, MD, a neurologist who works at both the University of Alabama and the University of Athens, said that since there are no definite treatments for most dementing illnesses, modifiable activities such as diet that may delay the onset of symptoms of dementia are very important. So this study included data on a little over 30,000 people aged from 45 and on between January 2003 and October 2007. They were followed up regularly for health changes. The participants also underwent tests to measure their memory and cognitive abilities over a period of 4 years. 17% of them did have diabetes. So the researchers found that among those without diabetes who followed the Mediterranean diet more closely, the risk of developing problems with memory and thinking skills was about 19% lower. Unfortunately, as far as cognition and memory was concerned, no benefit was identified among those with diabetes who closely followed a Mediterranean diet. So this wasn't the first study to release this information. In June 2012, researchers from the University of Las Palmas de Gran Canaria and the University of Navarra, which are both in Spain, reported in the European Journal of Clinical Nutrition that the Mediterranean diet is not only good for physical health, but mental health as well. And also in 2012, researchers from University of Miami Miller School of Medicine reported in the Archives of Neurology that a Mediterranean-style diet may be healthier for the brain. It's found that a Mediterranean diet appears to reduce damage to small blood vessels in the brain. So that is our news today for what's happening in medicine. And hopefully we made you a little bit healthier than you were yesterday. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we will be back with our special guest, Dr. Larry Emder. So everybody stay with us.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right, I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care, just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays, and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, well, check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com, or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Welcome back to our show, Aging Redefined, brought to you by Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and thanks so much for staying with us. Right now, we're going into our next segment, which is our special guest. I'm very honored to have Dr. Larry Emder on the show. Dr. Emder, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great today, and thanks for having me on the show.
Good. Oh, good. I'm so excited that you're here. I know you're a specialist in pretty much everything when it comes to medicine. So we've got lots of questions for you, and I'm super excited to hear about what you're going to talk about. I'll turn it over to you first. Can you give us a little bit about your background?
I'm 65. I just went on Medicare.
Did you really?
I'm part of the baby boomers.
Nice.
And I'm trying to age gracefully.
You're doing a very good job, so, I will admit.
I have an advantage in that I have the medical background, so I've been studying the aging process mostly for myself and my wife and my family, but I thought, hey, let's share with my patients and your audience.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, that's smart. I mean, I figure most of the time when you come up with the answers to something, it's like in business or when you're creating anything entrepreneurial, right? There has to be a need for it. So
right.
That's where you're getting that.
Well, the answer to my background is I'm board certified in internal medicine and pulmonary medicine. I trained years ago at the Cleveland Clinic.
Okay.
I practice in the East County at Alvarado Hospital, and in fact, I'm the chief medical officer. Most of my responsibilities are in the ICU and the intensive care unit.
Oh,
really?
And so what I became interested in is, what can I do for my patients to keep them out of the ICU where, you know, you use a lot of resources?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So I went back and got advanced training with the American Academy of Anti-Aging, and did that about 5 years ago. And what I've learned from that training, I've actually incorporated not only into my practice, but into my lifestyle. And I'd love to share that with your audience today.
Oh, yeah, totally. That would be awesome. Especially coming from somebody that actually practices what they preach.
Oh, absolutely.
That's kind of a new thing sometimes. Yeah.
Well, let's see. I'm 65. I got three grandchildren. I'm very active skier.
Are you really?
I ski about 20 days a year. And
wow.
I'm actually able to keep up with my 30-year-old son. I was skiing at about 12,000 feet at Breckenridge in Colorado and was able to keep up with him. And
that's impressive. So, I can't ski. At least I don't think so. Yeah.
So one of the ways we get there is, you know, this Mediterranean diet that you were talking about.
Yeah.
There's actually a peer-reviewed article in New England Journal of Medicine.
Okay.
Where they took patients that were at high risk for heart disease. These were diabetics.
Okay.
And they studied them over 5 years.
Okay.
And they looked at three groups. Two of the groups were on a Mediterranean diet. One, they gave them virgin olive oil.
Okay.
The second group, they gave a mixed nuts, including walnuts.
Okay.
And the third group, they said, you know, just try to avoid fats. And they studied them over a 5 year period, and they looked at cardiovascular endpoints, and those were stroke, heart attack, and death.
Okay.
And what they found is, just by diet manipulation alone, there was a 30% reduction in the incidence of strokes.
No kidding.
I mean, how cool is that?
No,
just by
awesome.
Changing your diet, you decrease your risk of having a stroke.
So do you know, like, the details of the article as far as, like, how did they incorporate that? Like, they just had to make sure that they ate olive oil, or?
Well, what they did is they instructed them on the Mediterranean diet, which was basically, you know, lots of fruits, vegetables, legumes.
Right.
A moderate amount of fish and chicken.
Okay.
Absolutely no red meats. And they avoid dairy products.
Okay.
In one group, they actually supplied them with virgin olive oil.
Okay.
And the other group, second group, they gave them bags of mixed nuts, which were supplied.
Oh,
and
nice.
The third group, they said, go out and have a nice day, but try to avoid fats. And then they would monitor them on a regular basis over the five-year period.
Wow.
And they actually had to terminate the study because, from an ethical standpoint, the patients that were on the Mediterranean diet with either the olive oil or the nuts were having great results. They were having fewer heart attacks, fewer strokes, and they weren't dying as much.
Wow.
So what does that mean to us today?
That means we should go eat.
We should go eat. Go to your favorite, you know, Greek or Mediterranean diet. Or more importantly, decrease the amount of milk products and red meat in your diet and eat more like people in the Mediterranean world eat today.
Wow. I love Mediterranean food. So that makes sense to me. I'm now a bigger advocate. The article I talked about earlier helps memory. So obviously, with everything going in that direction, it makes sense, doesn't it? Now, you were saying a little bit earlier, you've changed your diet personally. So have you incorporated some of these things into your own diet?
So I've always been a card-carrying carnivore. You know, I'm
yes.
you know, Ruth Chris's big steak.
I'm hungry. Yeah.
Based on articles like this, and I trained at the Cleveland Clinic, and there's a doctor there by the name of Dr. Esselstyn, who actually also wrote a book called Knives Over Forks, Forks Over Knives.
That's a super popular book right now.
Actually, it's a documentary. And then he wrote a book called Reverse and Prevent Heart Disease Diet.
Okay.
And basically, his diet is even more than a Mediterranean diet. His is a vegan plus diet, which is a hard diet to follow, but it incorporates a lot of the same principles.
Mm-hmm.
So I read that article. I read the book. This Thanksgiving will be 2 years. My father died from a heart attack. And my grandfather died in the bathtub from a heart attack.
Oh,
so
wow.
Two things. I don't take baths anymore.
Right.
And then just showers. And secondly, I've changed my diet. So how did I change my diet? I'm on a Mediterranean diet.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much a vegetarian, though I do, I guess you'd call me a pescatarian. Because I do eat fish a couple times a week, but I've completely cut out red meat. I've cut out dairy products. I'm not doing ice cream anymore.
Really?
I don't do milk. I do almond milk, which milk is, you know, animal fat.
Okay.
I'm trying to avoid that stroke at age 70, which is 5 years away from me, and trying to avoid a heart attack.
Right.
But the plus side is I've lost about 10 pounds.
Oh, wow.
You talk about body mass index,
yeah,
and Americans are overweight. You know, you want your body mass index to be 22. You're looking at someone whose body mass index is 22.6 yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have my weight under control.
I'm impressed.
I eat whatever I want to eat.
Without eating steak.
Steak is gone.
Though okay.
I do miss you. But,
I was going to say, how do you feel about that?
I think these changes, for me, it's like an insurance policy.
Right.
And I think from the research that we saw today, I believe I will reduce my risk of cardiovascular events. What are those? Those mm-hmm. are strokes, heart attacks, and death. I mean, secondly, I'm able to control my weight, which is huge.
Right.
Third factor is I believe I do have more energy. You know, I'm carrying around 10 less pounds.
And you're keeping up with your son on the slopes.
I'm keeping up with my son on the slopes. Mm. Still, I just bought a new pair of skis.
Nice.
So I can do that. And I think my memory is a little bit better. And I'm not forgetting where I left my keys. And so that's doing better.
Okay.
And this, here's the beauty of this is, I didn't go out and buy a diet plan. I didn't join a gym. I didn't have to pay for anything. All I had to do was change my lifestyle.
Right. And you're not starving yourself.
I'm not starving myself. I don't go to bed hungry. I don't wake up hungry. And it's the sort of thing that I'm doing for myself that I'm trying to get my patients to do for them. But it's what your audience can do starting today. You know, it doesn't cost any more money.
Right.
Just think about this. Just changing your diet. A simple thing is that you're going to improve your longevity. You're going to improve your memory. You're going to improve your energy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you're going to lose weight. And you don't have to join any, you know, diet plan.
Right. Nice. Nice side effect.
Yeah,
and you know what you're talking about makes sense, because aren't we really the only animal that drinks milk from another animal? Like, I mean, cows drink their own milk, but I mean, isn't there something to that? I mean, well, I might be saying that wrong. I don't have the medical background, but it's not natural for us to be digesting cow's milk, is it?
A lot of people feel that we develop allergies from the milk products. And I've noticed that, I've had, colitis issues in the past, which mm-hmm. went away when I stopped using the milk products, number one. Number two is that I am a pulmonologist. I've had patients that when I've taken them off dairy products, their mm-hmm. asthma has actually improved.
No kidding.
So I believe, there is something to milk allergies. Uh-huh. It's not everybody, but a small segment of the population uh-huh. Will have problems digesting milk products. But here's the thing. It's a very easy thing for everybody in the audience to test. What do they do? Just come off of milk for a week.
Right.
Come off of dairy. Come off of, the yogurt. Again, you can buy almond milk. You can buy soy milk.
Soy milk,
and just, just try it for yourselves and see how you feel.
Right.
And if there's no difference, can go back on the milk products. But the other thing about milk is, it's all this animal fat. It's the saturated fats. And it's the uh-huh. saturated fats which clog our arteries in our heart and in our brain. It raises our cholesterol. So when you go to something like almond milk, you're eliminating that portion of animal fat from your diet.
What about skimmed milk?
Well, skimmed milk is good. Why? Because it's less fat.
Okay.
You still are getting, the protein, and you're still getting the calcium. But there's still a little bit of fat in skimmed milk. Mm-hmm. But if you go with almond milk, there's like no animal fat.
You're pushing the almond milk.
So,
okay, I gotta try it now.
Well, we're actually and there's other sources of milk
uh-huh.
too that one can try. What I'm trying to avoid for myself is saturated animal fats.
Okay.
You want to get that out of your diet for sure.
Got it. Okay. And, a quick question. You brought up something about that, the movie, The Forks Over Knives or Knives Over Forks. I don't remember, but talking about vegan versus more vegetarian. And I know I've always got that question. So maybe some of our audience members out there do. What are some of the differences between vegan and vegetarian?
Okay, well, a vegan diet is going to have absolutely no animal products. Okay.
Okay.
So they're not going to eat anything with a soul or comes from an animal with a soul. So a vegan is absolutely not going to have any dairy. They're not going to do any cheese. They're not going to eat any eggs. So the challenge for a truly vegan diet is to get enough protein in their diet and enough calcium. But there's things that they can do.
Okay.
So the difference between vegetarian and vegan really is absolutely no animal products.
Gotcha.
And they're not doing any dairy. They're not doing any eggs.
Okay.
They're not obviously not doing any meat.
Fascinating. Okay. Awesome. Well, great. I'm super excited to talk more about this. So audience members out there, stay with us. We will be right back.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right. I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care. Just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays, and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, well, check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com, or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Welcome back, everybody, to Aging Redefined. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by our special guest today, Dr. Larry Emder. Dr. Emder is board certified in internal medicine and pulmonary medicine, and also has some advanced knowledge on anti-aging. So talking today about really healthy aging, and as aging is changing, what can we do to extend that process and keep us going on the long run. So I think we've had a great first part of the show. We went over some news in what's new in the medical world. And then we also went into a little bit, one of my articles was on diets. And so as I know, Dr. Emder, that you have been listening to my articles that we talked about, and we went over diet, great Mediterranean diet, some of the things that you're doing in your own personal life. I've got a question for you. What do you think about exercise?
You know, exercise is so huge. It's, you know, you can't even fit it into like a 14-minute segment.
Right.
But
we'll be here all day.
there's one thing that has been shown to improve memory. And you know what that is? Exercise.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
There you go.
aerobic exercising absolutely improves memory. So a lot of us, you know, we're couch potatoes and we don't want to get out and exercise, but there are so many benefits to exercise. Number one is memory. I mean, how many of us want to put off this Parkinson's and Alzheimer's? And doing a regular exercise program, 20 minutes aerobic three times a week definitely will help improve memory.
Yeah, and I think the article that we were talking about earlier, actually the study, was saying that
weight training and cardio, like outdoor walking, actually might be better than like yoga, Pilates, the things that are focused more on balance and toning. Have you found that to be the case, or is that kind of new information?
Okay. Well, here's the problem with exercise. Mm-hmm. Boring.
Yes.
You know, if you're doing the same thing, day in and day out, you know, people lose interest. You know,
right.
It's like everybody joins a gym January 1, and by February, the gyms are empty.
So the
key about exercise is you got to break it up, you know.
Right.
So I think it's all good. And mm-hmm. But you need to have three or four things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe, you definitely need to do cardio three, four times a week.
Mm-hmm.
The weight training is very important. Why is that important? Because it helps us with our tone.
Mm-hmm.
Pilates is huge because that helps you with your core muscles and it helps you with the balance. And mm-hmm. the thing is, if every couple of days you're doing something different,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to get bored, and you're also going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, pick your poison, but do it and do something and do it on a regular basis and do something that's fun. I mean, if you're a bird watcher, get out and walk the parks. I mean, that's mm-hmm. huge.
Yeah.
If you want a bike ride, whatever you do, it is a tremendous benefit.
Okay.
So not only is it for your memory, but let's talk about weight loss. If you, when I have an elliptical walker in my basement, uh-huh. I'm on that 30 minutes, I'm burning, I know by the calorie counter, I'm doing 150 calories.
Nice.
I do that, three times a week. That's 500 calories for the week,
mm-hmm.
Or about 2,000 calories a month. Well, about 1,500 calories burns about a pound of fat.
Okay.
Okay. So I know that when I exercise just 30 minutes three times a week for the month, I can either eat an extra pound of food without gaining it, or I'll lose a pound.
Wow. Okay.
So so what I'm saying here is that exercise, not only is it good for your memory,
mm-hmm.
But it's going to help you with your weight loss program, and it's fun.
Right.
So now you're living longer, and you can remember, where you left your keys.
Right. And we can eat more of our Mediterranean diet.
Yeah. Well,
so we're being helped in both areas. Now, what about obviously our show is geared toward people that are aging, and perhaps some that are already at that level. But if we're talking about people that aren't doing any exercise, how do they kind of get going? If they're thinking, I'm sitting here, there's no way I can go out and run. I haven't been running in 10 years. Do you have any tips for how we can kind of get started?
Yeah, it's called like walking.
Yeah.
For instance, I have a small lie to admit to.
What?
I may not get on that elliptical walker three or four times a week.
I was going to say, I had a treadmill and it really turned into more of a clothes hanger.
Yeah, right. So it's great. It's great for my dry cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is in the hospital, instead of taking the elevator up to the sixth floor,
mm-hmm.
I'm walking up the steps.
Right.
And so in my daily routine, I'm getting exercise that I wouldn't get if I got on the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is, you have to go to the 7-Eleven. Instead of driving the four blocks, walk the four blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to change your mindset to do things that require a little bit more energy. So you don't actually have to go to the gym. You just have to do things that are a little bit more physical. So don't rely on, the car. Just doing walking. I mean, you don't have to go join a gym, but you don't have to buy a gym membership for 20 mm-hmm. bucks a month or 50 bucks a month. You just have to get out and do more. So the first thing I would start with is a walking program. Mm-hmm. If you haven't done it in a while, you go to the mall, you walk three storefronts and you're short of breath. So mm-hmm. how about this? Next time, let's do four breaths, four storefronts.
Right.
So it's a matter of just pushing yourself to do more. Now, I would say this, if you're over 50 and you have not been on an exercise program and you want to get physical, you really should check in with your physician and get a stress test before you get physical to make sure, your heart is in good enough shape.
Okay. And what does a stress test involve?
Well, a stress test is a controlled situation where you're usually done by your friendly cardiologist, where they'll mm-hmm. put you on a treadmill hooked up to an EKG machine.
Okay.
And they'll make sure you're not going to have a heart attack when you're, running up the steps like I'm doing. And
right.
Yours truly, I get a stress test every year.
Do you Really?
Yeah, I do.
For being as healthy as you are with this low body fat and everything, huh?
Well, you know, seeing what can happen on the other side, I want to make sure nothing bad is going to happen to me.
No,
so I'm a little bit excessive, but my point is, you're over 50, you're starting an exercise program, you know, you haven't been to the doctor since you're 20, see your family physician, get a stress test, and get cleared for, you know, more rigorous activity.
Yeah.
And then graduate from walking to bike riding to get a treadmill to, you know, to joining a gym. But the key is, you know, get out and do it and do multiple different activities so you don't get bored.
Yeah, no kidding. I just started taking up running again. It's been a couple years. I was a professional athlete at one time. So when you...
Sweet.
Yeah, professional. Well, we say professional golf. So that might not seem crazy athletic aerobic to you, but it really was. I used to run 5 miles every day and ended up killing my knees for it. So that kind of impaired a lot of the activity that I was doing. So slowly but surely, I've got to get back out there and start walking and doing those types of things, working maybe a little bit more with an orthopedic surgeon or just orthopedics in general.
Well, you know, as far as the running goes, I have one of my doctor friends who's a long distance runner, and he found that, and doing marathons were really tough on his knees. So what he does now is he does trail running because he's running on dirt and it's not so tough on his joints. So that may be something else you want to try.
Oh, okay. So is that, I mean, so that's better than concrete or sidewalk, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, okay. You know, going to the beach, running on the dirt the trails, make sure you have the right running shoes, will preserve your joints so you can, run longer.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that, it kind of gets different when we're talking about older population. Obviously, we're starting at a different level, you know, as you're mentioning walking and those types of things. But as you're younger, appearances can be deceiving. I mean, there are a lot of people that just keep pushing themselves and then can end up, after a game of basketball, I've heard of people kind of sitting down and having minor strokes. So is there anything you could give tips to where, like, okay, you're pushing yourself? Because I know mentally we're always trying to push ourselves to be healthier and better. And it's like, okay, one more mile or my knees are killing me, but I'm just going to keep going. So are there any things that you could have us be on the lookout for? Like, okay, slow down or.
Well, it's common sense. It's what your gym teacher taught you in seventh grade is you want to make sure you stretch, before you do your exercises. And, you want to build up slowly. When I was 40, I decided I was going to start playing tennis again.
Tennis and skiing.
Yeah. So,
wow.
So I went out and I played tennis with my son, who at that time was 15, and we played for like 4 hours. And then I said, let's play some more. He said, he said, no, Dad, I'm tired. So then I went and played tennis with my friend.
Oh, no kidding.
So this is at age 40, when I'm running to the net, I blew out my Achilles.
Oh, no. Well, that'll put a stop to things.
Yeah, well, I was stupid. I mean, I hadn't played tennis in years. I was going to do everything at once, and I injured my body. At the time, I thought, I was working so hard that my recreational time was worth more than everybody else's, so I had to do more.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid. but the point is, you use common sense. I should have done what my son did, is after, the three sets in the morning, stop playing and relax. So when you start an exercise program, build up gradually, do your stretching. If it hurts, stop, and you should be fine.
Got it. Okay. Now, you'd mentioned earlier that your parents have had, or your father and your grandfather had died of heart attacks. So obviously that plays a role in your health, and you're trying to combat that. But on like a larger scale, how important are those genetics?
Actually, that's a great question, and it's actually something we should do a whole show on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most important thing is that make sure you pick out good parents.
Yeah. Dang.
So
wish I'd talked to you sooner.
And the flip side of that is, we are what we are, and we have our genetic makeup. So there's several things here. Number one, it's very important to realize, you know, look in your family tree and see, you know, what diseases are in there, because guess what? That's we're left to deal with. Mm-hmm. So that's the bad news. Mm-hmm. The good news is, you know, everybody has a genetic makeup that's encoded in our DNA, mm-hmm. But how that is expressed is really based on the environment. So let's say I do have a risk for a heart attack, uh-huh. But by changing my my environment, by decreasing my animal fat, I believe I'm decreasing my risk of having a heart attack. So the key is to know what your genetic makeup is and then change your lifestyle so you have the best life possible.
Got it. Okay. So like me being Italian and full of pasta and sauce and veal and all of that kind of food is probably not the best for with parents that have high blood pressure kind of thing.
You know, there is they study different populations, and there's a population in Italy where they live in the mountains. They have like no electricity. High percentage of the population lives to over 100, and they're Italian.
Yeah.
But the key
Sicilian,
is
Sicilian, though. Does that make a difference?
That probably does. Hold that for another show.
Yeah.
A show on Sicilians. But number one, they don't have cars within their village, and they're farmers, so they're getting a lot of exercise. They're eating their nuts and fruits and vegetables. They're not mm-hmm. eating animal fat, and they're long lived. So you can be an Italian with a crazy genetic makeup, but how you expose those genes to the environment will determine your health.
Got it. Okay. Well, so there's hope.
Yes,
I like that. I like that. And for our audience members out there, stay with us because there's more hope to come as Dr. Emder continues to talk about healthy aging and what we can do to extend our lives. So stay tuned.
Jack, I'm so glad you're here. I was just visiting with Dad.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Well, he's getting better, but the nurse said he needs a couple weeks in a skilled nursing facility for physical therapy with that hip fracture.
Skilled nursing? Like a nursing home?
Yeah, right. I know. I wasn't excited about it either. But after talking to her, it actually sounds like a really good idea. She said there are some facilities to be leery about, but I guess there's a company out there, Plum Healthcare, that really stepped it up to change the perception of nursing homes. She mentioned one of their top facilities in East County, Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. It's one of the top-rated facilities in San Diego. Plus, they have an amazing team of physical therapists with this indoor and outdoor rehab area that Dad really needs. Oh, and they're a subacute facility.
A what?
A subacute facility. Well, Dad doesn't need it, but it's for patients that need a ventilator to breathe. It's just good to know that they have that advanced level of care. Just in case, you know? And they're one of the only facilities to have their own team of wound care professionals, which is really important for Dad after that surgery.
Yeah, but are they going to care about Dad like we do?
Yeah, I asked that too. I guess a lot of nursing homes use nursing registries or rehab companies to outsource their staff. The whole group at Villa Las Palmas is in-house, so they won't be changing on him all the time. They'll get to know him and push him every day to get better and stronger than he was before.
No kidding. So do we have to make a reservation or call or what?
The nurse said we can call and schedule a time to go tour the facility. The admissions team will walk us through the building and the whole insurance thing, co-pays, and so on.
Is it going to be expensive?
Well, Villa Las Palmas takes all insurances and HMOs, so that's good. But because Dad has Medicare, everything's covered.
No kidding. Okay, well, I'm liking this place already.
Yeah, Dad seemed to like the idea. He heard the food was good.
All right. Well, should I make an appointment?
Oh, look at you being responsible.
Hey, you know me. I want to check out the food.
Yeah, well, check out the website, VillaLasPalmasCares.com, or just call them, 619-442-0544. I think we're all learning that aging is definitely changing.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to our show, Aging Redefined, where we're talking about healthy aging. I'm your host, Kendra Vallone, and I'm joined by Dr. Larry Emder, who is our special guest today. So, Dr. Emder, we've been talking about healthy aging and kind of anti-aging. Now, we don't want to say anti, like we're against it, but just things that we can do to be a little more healthy in the process. And you've already touched on some really awesome topics today. So we addressed diet, which is obviously very important, and exercise. But there's one big factor that continues to play a role, and that is stress.
So
yeah, stress, right. You know, stress obviously has a good side and a bad side. Mm-hmm. Too much stress really has bad effects on us. What does it do? It affects our ability to sleep. It actually will also affect our immunity. It's one reason that women and men accumulate fat, you know, if they're under too much stress. It can also cause problems if you are overstressed all the time. You can get something called adrenal insufficiency. So if you have too much stress in your life, we got to get it out.
Right. What is this adrenal insufficiency?
Well, you know, there's something called cortisol, and cortisol is a hormone. And under periods of stress, let's say we go back 2,000 years, you know, you're walking on the path and a lion comes up and starts chasing you.
Right.
You know, your adrenaline level is going to go up so you can run fast.
Right.
And your cortisol levels will go up, and that increases your metabolism.
Oh, no kidding. I like that word.
Yeah. So you want your cortisol levels at that point to be high. However, if your cortisol levels are high all the time, because now you're sleep deprived, if you're in school, you're taking tests all the time, mm-hmm. if you're over-exercising, the high cortisol levels have a bad effect on your health and actually will speed up the aging process. So you want your cortisol levels to be balanced.
Okay. But I heard you say speed up the metabolism as well, which my ears perk up there. So we do want a certain amount of that in our body, right? So it's just a matter of keeping it at a kind of a stable point.
You know, a lot of us are our cortisol junkies. We like that high because in this, you know, U.S. economy of being overachievers, we're always pushing, go, go, go.
Yes, we are.
So what are we doing? We're getting up early. We're going to work. A lot of us are going to the gym where we're pounding coffee, caffeinated drinks. Well, mm-hmm. all these things cause our adrenal glands to release more cortisol. And too much cortisol is bad. Why? It raises our blood pressure.
Okay.
It causes you to accumulate weight, and it does affect your immunity. So you want to manage your cortisol levels. So how do we lower the cortisol levels? And a very natural way to do that is exercise. And that's why exercise is so important as a part of a healthy aging process.
Okay.
Because not only are we improving our memory when we exercise, not only are we burning calories and controlling our weight, but you're also burning cortisol and you're lowering your cortisol level. And, you know, do you ever feel stressed out?
Yes.
Anxious? Well, that's because your cortisol levels are too high. And that's why
you just like can't sleep and there's so much going on and
yeah,
I need a vacation.
Right. And that's where, you know, if you go for a good run earlier in the day, it's going to reduce your cortisol levels and help you control the stress. But that's only one thing. The other thing is, you know, read a book, go for a walk, go out in the sun, you know, take a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want your bodies to be under constant stress all the time because of all the bad effects. And those bad effects are, again, you know, it's got memory lapses, decreases your ability to fight infections. Mm-hmm. You know, it causes you to accumulate fat and it will also increase your risk for diabetes.
Oh, wow. Okay. So obviously with the diet and the eating, we can get the cortisol. Okay. If we can get the cortisol levels down. Now that's not, is there an extreme on the other side where if you don't have enough of that, we're kind of at another unhealthy point?
Well, actually, you know, there's something called adrenal insufficiency, which is a relatively rare medical problem where your adrenal glands don't make enough cortisol.
Okay.
Patients like this have trouble getting up in the morning. They're depressed. They do accumulate a lot of fat, and it can become a medical emergency.
Oh.
There's something called adrenal fatigue, where the adrenal glands over time become burnt out. What does that mean? Is that if your adrenals are under constant stress, that is, you're getting 4 hours of sleep at night only, you're smoking, you're not exercising, you're under, you know, anxiety all the time, your body keeps asking for more and more cortisol level. At some point, it can't produce. And there's something you recognize called adrenal fatigue, which can be diagnosed, and there are ways to treat that. But luckily, a lot of that is usually through vitamin supplement and changing your work habits and your sleep habits. So yes, there's something called adrenal fatigue, which occurs with periods of overstress in one's life.
Okay. Now, what kind of
factor does sleep play in all of this? Because I know when you're really stressed out, you're not getting a lot of sleep, and then, well, things just get messy during the day. But I'm assuming that sleep allows you to kind of rebuild, or is that, am I going sleep, down the wrong path?
Well, I love these topics because, you know, we could talk, a whole week on sleep. Sleep is so important. Now, why is it important? Well, you know, you think when you're sleeping at night, nothing's going on in your body. Mm-hmm. But from a metabolic standpoint, your body is repairing itself while it's sleeping. Mm-hmm. While you're sleeping, there's something called growth hormone, which is being released. And growth hormone, you think that you only need that when you're a little child and you're growing, mm-hmm. but it's actually a misnamed hormone because it's a reparative hormone. That's mm-hmm. being released at night, okay? So if you're not getting a good night's sleep, you're not releasing growth hormone. Your body can't heal itself, repair itself.
Oh, okay.
There's something called melatonin. Do you ever hear of melatonin?
Yes, melatonin.
Melatonin is released at night.
And you can take that in capsules too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, at the natural health food store.
That's right, and it's very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing. Go to sleep. You get it for nothing.
Right, but what if you can't sleep because you're so stressed out? That's the problem.
Okay, well we can talk about that. But the key is, the answer to your question is why sleep is important. Well, at night, you're releasing all these hormones, melatonin being one of them. And what melatonin does is it lowers your blood pressure. It helps. It has an anti-cancer effect. It's an anti-inflammatory effect. It's, you know, a reparative effect. Mm. So for you people that are don't get your sleep, mm-hmm. you're not giving your body the chance to heal itself.
Right.
So just by incorporating better sleep habits into your lifestyle is actually a healthy aging process.
Now, there are some people that don't need to sleep. I mean, like, you hear of people like Tiger Woods or the president that have sleep patterns down to where they're only needing 2 to 3 hours a night of sleep. And people say, okay, well, that's not healthy, but if they get more sleep, then they're out of it for the day. Like, what's your response to that? Is it just like they need to suck it up and go to bed?
Okay, would you ever hear the word baloney?
Yeah.
So we all need our sleep. The thing is that everybody's different, okay? Mm-hmm. The average amount of sleep is felt somewhere between 6 to 8 hours.
Okay.
Okay? There's some people... but there's some people that need more. There's some people that need 10 hours mm-hmm. to feel good. There's other people that need maybe 6 or 5.
Okay.
But less than 5 to 6 hours, you're probably shortchanging your body. So the answer is not everybody needs 8 hours of sleep. There is a range. There's some people that are early risers, and it doesn't matter if you're getting your sleep, later in the day or going to bed earlier, but you're going to need your 6 to 8 hours of sleep for, I believe, a healthy lifestyle.
Right. And say you're somebody that has trouble falling asleep, as we mentioned, stress or maybe medically related. Like my mom, for example, she takes sleeping pills every night. They're not prescription sleeping pills, but she takes them over the counter, and it's stronger than melatonin, so it's not the all natural. I would hate to say encourage, because obviously encouraging taking drugs on a regular basis is not a good thing. But because sleep is so important, would you say that there is a balance and that would be a place to start, encouraging taking those kind of supplements to get your body back in sleep mode?
Okay, I basically kind of hate supplements.
Okay.
And I hate sleeping pills,
Okay.
I kind of...
all natural?
I would say that would be the last resort. I like to kind of go to the natural approach. So what's mm-hmm. the natural approach? Well, let's turn the clock back, like 200 years.
Okay.
So what would happen is our ancestors were, in agrarian society. They're out on the farm. The rooster crows, all right? You would get up and go outside, mm-hmm. okay? And when you would go outside, you would be exposed to sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually sets our biological clock. There's a gland in our brain called the pineal gland, all right? So that sets our biorhythms for the day, all right?
No kidding.
Yeah, so we're talking like the 1800s or the 1700s.
Right, yeah.
So then we're out in the field, and you're worried about exercise, you're digging ditches.
Right.
Thank God we don't live in that period, right?
No kidding.
But anyway, this is what our ancestors did, all right? Mm-hmm. And then about 7 o'clock at night, there was no electricity and it got dark. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that light-dark cycle set our biological clock. So everybody was exhausted from digging ditches and trying to survive, but they didn't eat their Ambien. They just went to sleep.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward it now to 2013, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So we get up in the morning, you turn on the TV, all right? Mm-hmm. You never really go outside. We're in buildings with all this, artificial lighting, all right?
Right, yeah.
Then we come home at the end of the day and you jump in bed and you turn on Jay Leno, all right?
Right.
And you're having more light-like exposure.
Right.
And we're doing other things in bed than what we should be doing, which is sleeping.
Right.
We're reading.
Uh-huh.
So all these activities interrupt our sleep cycle.
Okay.
So the answer is when you get up in the morning, open the blinds and you want to expose yourself to natural light. Okay.
Mm.
When you come home at night, get the TV out of the bedroom. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have any bright lights in the bedroom. See a lot of indirect lighting. When you get in bed, you shouldn't be, reading the newspaper
mm-hmm.
like I did last night.
Yeah.
you shouldn't be reading your books and you should go to bed. Yeah, mm-hmm. Unless you're thinking of having a family. Well,
Right. That's another show.
That's another show. So the answer is I would start with, light exposure in the morning, decreasing light exposure at night, and change. There's something called sleep hygiene is you want to make the bedroom for sleep and mm-hmm. get the computers out of there, get the TVs out of there, and let's start with that. And
now, right.
If you're still having problems sleeping, then give me a call.
Right.
I'm at the Healthy Aging Medical Associates.
Mm-hmm.
They can see me on the web or you can call me in my office at 619-286-8803. And we have other techniques to help you reduce stress, get you sleeping, get you healthy aging.
Perfect. I love that. You just ended the show for me as I was going to ask everybody if they've got questions, how to reach out to you. So again, what was the name of that website? Tell
it's
us.
It's called Healthy Aging Medical Associates. We're right here in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
.com. Mm-hmm. And you put that in your web browser. Website will come
up.
Okay. Or my office is in the East County, right by Alvarado Hospital, 619-286-8803. I'd love to help you and your family to stay healthy and aging. Age gracefully.
Perfect. Dr. Emder, thank you so much for being on our show today. And for our audience members out there, thank you for tuning in to Aging Redefined, brought to you by Villa Las Palmas Healthcare Center. And if you have any questions or would like some questions read on the air that we might be able to help you with, feel free to send me an email at kvallone@plumh.com. That's kvallone at plumh.com. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Aging Redefined with your host, Kendra Vallone. Join Kendra every Saturday morning from 6 to 7 a.m. on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ.